Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 20. Well, my heart's been blessed. It's a wonderful thing to hear songs about my Savior. Now, folks, look right up here. Let me tell you the difference between enjoying this and really enjoying this. If you know of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? You'll be blessed to a certain extent. But if you know Jesus Christ, there's a difference between knowing of somebody and knowing them. And once he becomes your Savior, and once you allow him to become the Lord of your life, and once you allow him to become the King of your life, well, when these songs are sung, it's just hard for me not to get a little Babticostal up here. I'll be honest with you. I love Jesus. I say it unashamedly. He's the best friend I have. And I love him. And I love to hear songs that uplift his name. Well, I want you to notice some things from the scriptures. I'll point them out as we go. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 20. Matthew 1, chapter 1 and verse 20. And while he thought on these things, this is talking about Joseph. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, there it is, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Notice not only how it's spelled, but notice it's capitalized this. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, Jesus in capital letters. Jesus in capital letters. I want him to be in capital letters in my life. Luke chapter number 1. Let's go over to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. And if you'll look at verse number 31, the angels appeared to Mary here, explaining that she has been chosen to bring Christ upon this earth. And in verse number 31, Luke 1:31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, say it with me, Jesus. Capital letters, capital J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. Luke chapter 2, if you will, Luke chapter 2, verse number 21. Luke chapter 2, verse number 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called, say it with me, Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Heavenly Father, we're going to uplift your son this morning. Jesus, you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So our job is to do the lifting up, and your job is to do the drawing. And thank you for coming. Thank you for all we've heard. Thank you for how much my heart has been touched and my soul stirred and my spirit refreshed. And I pray, Lord, as we build upon that by looking at the scriptures, that we will, Lord, I guess, spend some time adoring our Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And folks, thank you for standing. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I asked the question when I was reading these verses, reading the Christmas story, why the capitalization of Jesus? And I thought, well, there must be some significance to that. It's the only place where you'll find Jesus' name capitalized is in the three scriptures we read. I mean, it's found scores of places in the Bible, and it's spelled without capitalization. Well, I thought, well, maybe there was something in the original language that demanded that it be capitalized in these instances. However, you know what, folks? I did my research, which means I Googled it, okay? And according to multiple sources, there's absolutely no difference in the word here than any other place you find the word Jesus, as far as there's nothing in the original language that would demand or require somebody to capitalize it. And then I begin to read deeper. And again, you know, you do the best you can to research multiple sources. But there was a story that kept popping up. By the way, it didn't have anything to do with the translators. It's not like they presented the translation and required that when they typeset the Bible, the King James Bible. By the way, you won't find this capitalized 3 times in any other Bible except the King James Bible. And I think God did it on purpose for us. And there was nothing that in the translators, what their work that they turned over that would demand or an expectation that it should be capitalized in these 3 times. And so the summarization, maybe it's an urban legend, I have no idea, was that whoever the typesetter was, now think about that, somebody had to typeset this. And if you think about the old printing presses, they literally typesetted one letter at a time. And as the typesetter was typesetting this, he came across the angels announcing the birth of Jesus, and some typesetter made the decision, just couldn't not capitalize it. And so in the three instances tied to the birth of Jesus Christ, we see Jesus in capital letters. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm not 100% sure, but I will say this. I'm glad he did it. I'm glad it's capitalized. I thought, I want Jesus to have capital letter status in my life. I want his name to mean something. And by the way, it does mean something. We may not know exactly why someone chose to capitalize it in these three instances, but we do and can understand the meaning of the name. You say, preacher, what does it mean? The name Jesus means God saves, or the God who saves. And folks, we're going to be reminded of this today, but Jesus was not just any ordinary person. He was the Son of Man, yes, but he was also the Son of God. And that is why the angel gives this explanation to Joseph, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, he needed to be named Jesus. That's God's choice. Think about that. Many of you, one of the blessings and I think joys of expecting a new baby is that you get to decide what to name them. And a lot goes into that. You got 9 months as a set, figure it out, you know. And you may come up with a small pool of names, and then maybe you narrow it down. And then in the end, the wife chooses, and the husband is fine with it. And the kid is stuck with it, all right? But they didn't get a name their child. It was chosen for them. Listen to me. It was chosen by God, because God wanted the name of his son to mean something to us. And so when the meaning means God saves or God's savior or the God who saves, why is he named this? Because of the reason that he came, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name explains the purpose of his coming. By the way, later Jesus would affirm this as his mission in Luke 19:10, when he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey folks, Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. Can I ask you an important question? Watch this. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Let me ask you this. Are you lost? Are you lost? If you are, I got some good news for you. Jesus came to seek you out. Jesus came to save you. And you know what? You may walk in here lost, not knowing Christ as your Savior, but you don't have to walk out of here in that condition. And so God has sent his... Boy, I got some good news. God has sent his only begotten Son. Why? So he can be your Savior. That's why the name Jesus means so much. To those of us that have received him, yes, he's got capital letter status in our life. For those of us that have made him Lord of our life, and we truly are worshipers of Christ and followers of Christ. Folks, for those of us that have made him the king of our life, I mean, we've bended our knee, and we realize that we've been put here for a reason, and that's to serve the king. To serve the king. I preached in chapel this week, and I told our young people that are getting up towards graduation, when people ask you what you're going to do with your life, you tell them, I'm going to serve the king. Well, what does that mean? I don't know, but whatever he says, I'm going to do it. Well, where are you going to go? I don't know, but wherever he says to go, I'm going to go there. And you know what? If you would just settle it in our hearts, I don't care if you're a child or a senior saint, if we'll just make Jesus what he means to be and what he wants to be in our life, hey, allow him to be your Savior if you've never been saved. But don't stop there. Let him be the Lord of your life. And get to the point where you just say, Jesus, you're the king. You're the king. And all I want to do is serve you as king. That's why these precious songs like Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Think about that. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim that kings and kingdoms will pass away. But there's something about that name. I'm going to break it down quickly for you this morning. Let's just take the word Jesus, since it's in capital letters, and let's take a look at every letter. J. Let's let it stand for this. Jesus is the just one. He's the just one. One of the things when I noticed about this, when I studied where Jesus is called the just one or the just and holy one, it all happened in the book of Acts. And there was a dramatic reaction every time a preacher got up and proclaimed that Jesus was the just one. There's a reason for this. The Jews got mad when preachers preached and said Jesus was the just one. What does that mean, preacher? He's the sinless one. He's the sinless one. Peter, in Acts chapter 3, is arrested and thrown in jail because he said this, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." He preached the truth. He proclaimed Jesus as the just one, and he was thrown in jail for it. Stephen, by the way, in Acts chapter 7, he said this, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it." And you know what they did? They picked up stones and they stoned him. You know why? Because he dared proclaim Jesus as the just one. Acts chapter 22, we got Peter in jail, we got Stephen stoned, and now the apostle Paul in Acts chapter 22, we read this as he preaches again on the fact that Jesus was the just one. And he said, "The God of our fathers have chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, who shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast said and heard." And by the way, when he got to that point in the sermon, they began to shout him down and continue to shout him down. And soldiers had to come in and rescue the apostle Paul from the Jews that were stirring up a riot. You know why? Because he simply said, "Jesus is the just one." Listen, folks, I want to proclaim it today, and I want to thank God we still have enough freedom in America that I can say it and not be arrested. I can say it and not be stoned. I can say it and it won't cause a riot. Matter of fact, it'll do the opposite amongst God's people. It'll cause celebration and rejoicing. But let's remember this. Jesus was the sinless. I said sinless. I said sinless Son of God. Does the Bible teach that, preacher? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Aren't you glad for that? I don't know what you're going through, but let me tell you something. Jesus knows and Jesus cares and Jesus can relate to it. "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." Now, folks, listen to me. Let's settle this. If Jesus was a sinner, then he couldn't pay for our sins. But he is the just one. He is the sinless one, the perfect, perfect Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. A sinful thought. What does this mean, preacher? A sinful thought never crossed his pure mind. A sinful act was never committed by his pure hands. A sinful path was never walked by his pure feet. A sinful motive never tainted his pure works. A sinful emotion never touched his pure heart. A sinful word never left his pure lips. A sinful glance was never committed by his pure eyes. A sinful decision never defiled his pure will. In all these things, he was holy. In all these things, he was pure. In all these things, he was righteous. In all these things, he was sinless. In all these things, he was perfect. In all these things, he was just. He was just. And folks, I dare any of us to stand to our feet and say that we can also claim what we just acknowledged about our Savior. None of us can say that. That's why we needed a Savior. That's why we needed Jesus. 10 Old Testament sins, by the way. If you do a study on the Old Testament law, in the Old Testament law, God declares that there are 10 Old Testament sins, 10 sins that God says is an abomination to him. Now think about that. An abomination. That's a good study. Maybe I'll preach that on that one of these days. But there's 10 sins that God declares to be not just sinful, not just wrong, not just evil, but he takes a personal affront to it. It's an abomination. It's like spitting in his face. Now think about that. By the way, we should still preach against these sins. He declares sodomy to be an abomination. He declares moral perversion. Boy, we need to get back to being a pure people. Come on. Folks, listen to me. I'm tired of turning on the TV set and listening about some preacher that they find out is a closet pervert. Yeah. If we're going to proclaim the name of Christ, then let's live a pure and decent and moral life. Think about that. It's an abomination. Witchcraft. Boy, so many of our young people are being lured into this nonsense. Witchcraft in America, folks, is making a comeback right now. It is quietly making a comeback amongst our young people. You better be on high alert, parents. Cross-dressing, idol worship, prostitution. God hasn't changed his mind on any of these today. But it's interesting. Of all of the 10, you might not think this one would be included, but it is. Bringing a lamb for a sin sacrifice that had a blemish. Now think about that. Of all of the Old Testament sins that reaches the level of an abomination, one of them is, don't you bring a sin sacrifice. Don't you bring a lamb that has any type of blemish. You know why? Because that lamb represented the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? God was so careful to want to put into the minds of his people that Jesus, when he came, was going to be the just one. The sinless one, that God said, don't you pick a lamb that has a blemish and bring it before me, because I'll treat it as abomination. You know why? Because he knew there'd be a day where John the Baptist would stand and say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So number one, Jesus is the just one. J-E, Jesus is the eternal one, the eternal one. Folks, I want you all to understand this. Sometimes young people are a little confused about this, but Jesus, as far as his existence, didn't begin the day he was born here on this earth. Amen. You folks, he was before all things. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D. That's speaking of Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Wait a minute, time out, preacher. You're telling me Jesus existed, pre-existed before his time on earth? Are you telling me that Jesus was there when the worlds were created? Yes. You know why? Because Jesus is part of the triune God. By the way, the doctrine of the Trinity is a very important doctrine. Something that we can, again, not allow anybody to disparage. You know what? God, when he created the heavens and the earth, folks, listen, go back and read the story. He says, let us make man in our image. And by the way, we are made in the image of God. God is a triune being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you were made a triune being, and I was made a triune being also. We are body, soul, and spirit. And so Jesus is the eternal one. The Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. In other words, when you hear this, you ought to accept it. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said this, of whom I am chief, and you'll find written in my Bible, beside that in the margin, no Paul I am. No Paul I am. Well, you better get to that place in your Christian life. Albeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life eternal. Then The Apostle Paul writes this, now unto the King, talking about Jesus, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Folks, listen to me. It wasn't just a baby born on Christmas night. A creator was born on Christmas night. The creator walked among us. The creator was subject to cruel markings. Our creator suffered the torture of the whip. Our creator suffered the cruelty of the cross. Our creator was willing to die for his creation. But I want to say that our creator rose again victorious on that third day. Jesus, the just one. Jesus, the eternal one. Let's go to the first S. Jesus is the sacrifice sent. The sacrifice sent. The next day, talking about John the Baptist, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Why did he call him the Lamb of God? Because the people of Israel would understand it. All of these generations, all of these years, they have been bringing a blood sacrifice. Remember I said that lamb without spot or blemish? And all of a sudden now a man appears. And folks, he is the sacrifice, the last sacrifice and only sacrifice needed for our sin. I love the book of Hebrews. We'll teach through it one of these days. Chapter 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can take away sins. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. All of that was a foreshadowing of the fact that there was going to be somebody that would come. Now, let me have your attention because I want you to get this, all right? There's an important doctrine here that you need to understand in order to be saved. Okay, watch this. Why the lamb? Why bring the lamb all those years? Because it was a sin offering. And that sin offering was slain in place of the one who should have died, because the wages of sin are death, is death. And you got to understand, big giant term called the substitutionary atonement. Think about that. What does that even mean? A substitutionary atonement. Jesus came and died, folks, but listen to me, he died for me. You got to realize this, okay? All right? Well, I believe Jesus died and was buried and rose again. You missed part of the gospel. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, this is the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again. You can believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, but if you don't understand why he died, you're not going to get saved. He died for our sins. That means, listen to me, I should have been whipped with that cat of nine tails. I should have had those crown of thorns beat into my skull. Watch this. I should have been the one that had to carry that cross up the hill. I should have been the one that was nailed there. By the way, after I died, I should have been the one that suffered hell forever. But Jesus came down and said, I'll do that for them. Amen. I'll die for them. The wages of sin is death. And we've all sinned. And Jesus said, well, what if somebody else paid it? Well, nobody down there can pay for each other's sins because they're all sinners. How about if I go down there and live a perfect life and become the perfect sacrifice for sin? Folks, this is good, all right? Let me tell you something. He's the sacrificial one. He's the one that was sent as a sacrifice, a substitution for my sins and for your sins. And he's the one that died for us. J-E-S. How about this? You. Jesus is the understanding one. I like this. Hebrews 4:15, because he was willing to go through that, because he became a man, because he suffered for us, we read this, Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he came down and he lived as a human, took upon him the form of flesh. By the way, he knew what it was to be tired. Some of you are fighting sleep this morning. I understand you worked hard this week. So, you know, some of you have got some maladies or some health problem, or maybe you're fighting some disease, and you say, nobody really understands. Nobody really understands. No, that's not true. Jesus understands. Some of you have been betrayed. And you say, nobody understands. Jesus understands. Come on, he was betrayed. You know what? It seems like some nobody is listening, and it seems like I've been rejected, and it seems like I've been turned away. And you know what? You can go to the Lord Jesus. He understands all of that. You know, well, sometimes we go through things and we ask the question, does Jesus even care? Does he care? And this songwriter, God, thank God for godly songwriters that God has sent us through the centuries that wrote, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the ways grow weary and long. Does Jesus care? This is what the songwriter, I think he was in a dark place. Does Jesus care when my way is dark? With a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation? Strong preacher, I'm trying to live the Christian life. I just keep falling and failing. When for my deep grief, there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. And then here's where the songwriter finally gets to. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. J-E-S-U. What's the last S, preacher? Let's go back to where we started. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. And she shall bring forth a son and call his name. Capital G, J, capital E, capital S, capital U, capital S. Shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Have you been saved? Have you received Christ as your Savior? I want to tell you, God has a gift for you. We talk about Christmas and we talk about gifts and we're looking forward to what we might get. And people will go their whole lives and not realize that God has bought a gift. The gift, by the way, it's out there on the marquee on the sign. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Christ died so that we wouldn't have to pay for our sins. Christ died so that Jerry Ross didn't have to go to hell. And he purchased for me the gift of eternal life. And he holds it down to us. But folks, listen to me. We must believe and we must receive. Somebody can buy a gift for you. Come on. And they can walk over and say, hey, I bought this for you. And it's not going to cost you a thing. And I paid a huge price for it. And I did it because I love you. And you can hold it out to them. And you know what? They could say, well, I appreciate it, but no thanks. And I feel like that's what the vast majority of the world is saying to God. Yes. You know, okay, whatever. All right, you know what? I guess. I mean, yeah, I've heard the story, and I know he supposedly came, and they just don't have a heart of belief. They don't really believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They don't really understand that he's the Savior. They don't understand that he died for their sins. Or maybe they've heard it, but they don't want to accept it. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to receive it. Well, God created each and every one of us with the free will. What does that mean? Look right up here. I can't get saved for you. You can't get saved for me. Hey, grandmas and grandpas, we can't get saved for those grandbabies, but we better be praying for those grandbabies. Amen. Grandma and grandpa can't get saved for you. Mom and dad's a Christian. Well, that's great, but are you? Okay, nobody gets to heaven on mom and dad's coattails, all right? Ye must be born again. Ye must be born. Every single individual person must decide and realize, I am that sinner. Come on, take some humility. I am that sinner. And I know what I deserve. And if it wasn't for Jesus, you know what? I should go to hell. And I should burn forever. But thank God Jesus loved me enough to come down and say, I will take your place. Watch this. I think if you're here to this morning and if you listen, I think that literally the Holy Spirit will help you hear this. The words of Christ. Let me be your Savior. That's what I came here to do. Let me be your Savior. If you've never received Jesus Christ, I hope that you'll be saved today. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for a word of prayer. Thank you for listening, folks. Boy, Jesus in capital letters. I think somebody, I don't know, maybe it was some typesetter, I don't know who it was, but somebody said, you know what, there's a certain amount of attention that needs to be drawn to this name. And I hope that, I hope I've drawn that attention this morning. What about you? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure, I'll be honest with you. I struggle sometimes. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Did I really trust Christ? Did I not? You know, maybe for some of you, maybe many of you in the room, preacher, this is the first time I guess I've heard the gospel and I've really got it and I get it. And he did that for me. He didn't just do it for the whole world. He did it for me. He paid for my sins. There's a gift being held out this morning. God wants to give it to you. He wants you to take it. It's not hard. Preacher, well, what I have to do to be saved? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Doesn't sound like there's any doubt there. You have to believe and then you have to receive. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not sure about that, we have people that are trained to take the Bible and show people how to be saved. And so once we give the invitation here in a second, if you come forward, Brother Brian's here at the front, and he'll get someone to take a Bible. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady. And if you're a man, we'll get a man. And I'd love to have the opportunity. I know there's people all over this church. Listen, the only reason I'm saved is because somebody cared enough to show me how to be. And to be able to pay that forward, that's one of the greatest privileges of the Christian life. And, you know, once you get that settled and you're saved, just think about how many other people you might be able to pay that forward to. I'd like to pray for you if you're not sure that you're saved. I won't embarrass you, won't call your name. I promise you, we don't do that here. Preacher, I'm struggling with this right now about salvation. I've just got questions and I don't have peace in my heart. I don't know 100% sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. But preacher, would you just pray for me? Just pray that I make the right decision. Would you raise your hand? Anybody all over the auditorium, I'm looking. Again, we won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, it's a wonderful thing to be able to stop and pause in this December month and just celebrate the coming of your Son. And Lord, I think everybody knows, we'd acknowledge that nobody knows exactly what day it was. We pick a day and we say that's the day we're going to celebrate it. But honestly, we don't know. But we sure are glad that you came. Sure are glad that you came. Jesus, I want to thank you for being the just one, for being the eternal one, for being selfless and sacrificial, for being understanding of what we're going through in life, and then your offer to become our Savior.